today on Straight Talk Africa, the Central African Republic presidential runoff. The contest is between two former prime ministers of the CAR. But critics say, given the social, cultural, political challenges in the country, the election results must be credible and reflect the will of the people in order to help heal the politically divided nation. The runoff is scheduled for February 7th. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, January 27th. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the Central African Republic presidential election that is now headed to a runoff between two former prime ministers.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on the topic. That's through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
Expectations to return the Central African country to normal are high as the two former prime ministers battle for votes in the upcoming runoff election. My colleague Esther Githuyu Ewart has more.
Neither of the two former prime ministers, Anise George Dologile and Foster Touadera, garnered 50% of the vote required in the first round held on December 30, 2015, to avoid a runoff ballot. The election is being held to replace a transitional government installed in 2014 and led by Catherine Samba-Panza. Central African Republic has witnessed a long, tumultuous period since its independence from France in 1960, with rebellions and coups that have divided the country along religious and ethnic lines. The most recent conflict began in 2013, after a rebel leader, Michel Djotodia, overthrew the government of longtime President Francois Bozize. The conflict saw long-running battles between the Muslim rebel group known as Seleka and a Christian militia group known as Antibalaka. Hundreds were killed and thousands fled their homes. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, visited the country to see the situation firsthand and described the situation then as horrific.
Untold horrors continue in small villages throughout the countryside, and more than 19,000 Muslims are trapped in the capital, too afraid of anti-Balaka forces to leave their hiding places.
Displaced civilians could be seen leaving the country, while others remained in deplorable conditions with no one to attend to those injured, including children. Valerie Amos, Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, described the situation as extremely grave.
The situation in the Central African Republic is extremely grave, and urgent action is required by everyone if we're going to prevent further bloodshed.
As violence continued, the United Nations created a force to patrol city streets in the capital, Bangui, trying to keep the situation calm. But soon, allegations emerged that some soldiers were involved in sexual misconduct against civilians. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon expressed his anger.
I believe the disturbing number of allegations we have seen in many countries, but particularly in the Central African Republic, in the period before UN peacekeepers were deployed and since, speaks to the need to take action now. Enough is enough.
As the two former prime ministers run tough campaigns to woo voters, the country's food situation is alarming. The World Food Programme Regional Coordinator, Margot van der Velden, says hundreds of civilians have no idea where their next meal will come from.
One out of two people in Central African Republic don't have enough food to eat and don't know where the next meal is coming from. The people most affected are the returnees and the hundreds and thousands of people that remain internally displaced inside Central African Republic.
In his last stop of an historic tour of Africa, Pope Francis visited Bangui saying, "I come to the Central African Republic as a pilgrim of peace and as an apostle of hope." The pontiff visited the Grand Mosque of Kuduko and celebrated Mass at the Notre Dame Cathedral in the capital, preaching reconciliation between Muslims and Christians. Central African Republic is rich in gold, uranium, oil and diamonds, yet it remains one of the world's poorest nations. The candidate that wins the runoff elections faces enormous tasks to restore democracy, rebuild the country's institutions, and unite the people who have been devastated by years of political turmoil. Esther Githui-Ewart, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Esther, for that report. Joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Gabino Gerengomba, CEO of Integrated Solar Technologies, and the Central African Republic Diaspora Lobby, and Yves Kongolo, President of Central African Republic Renaissance Foundation. I have to say, gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka, for having me again.
You're most welcome.
Okay, thank you for having me.
And
the first time.
And Mr. Kongolo, it is the first time. Are you by any chance related to a former DRC cabinet minister, Mwenze Kongolo?
Kongolo Mobutu, maybe now. No, I'm
not related. It was not in the cabinet of Mobutu, it was in the cabinet of Desire Kabila.
I mean, I can't confirm or deny, but as far as I know, no, I'm not related.
I see.
I wish I was, because
he actually lived for many years in Philadelphia.
Correct.
I see. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Well, I have to say, though belatedly again, a happy new year to you, Gabino.
Happy new year to Bishaka.
It's been a very, very long time.
Same year.
So tell me, talk to me about the upcoming presidential runoff in your country. How optimistic are you that this is going to be an election that is going at the end of the day, or whose results at the end of the day are going to reflect the will of the people?
Well, Shaka, let's first say that how proud I am of the Central African people, not only for our community here, our diaspora worldwide, but also how the Central African Republic responded massively to pretty much express their voice despite all the circumstances that we know were not gathered for a very, viable elections. But yet they responded very well. So, I mean, you and I, we covered just about every stage of the conflict. So
That's right. Every stage,
I'm sure if we go back to the historical, you see how we have been right all along.
You think that this election, at the end of the day, may be able to put to rest the ghosts of Jean Beder Bokassa, the one time, of course, emperor of the Central African Empire, at least according to him?
Well, believe it or not, there's a lot now that Central Africa are kind of nostalgic of that time, because there was peace. We had a very strong army, and piece of a very solid society in place. I don't think that it will just put everything back to normal, but what I think is that whoever is elected have this runoff, all Central African, we need to put our differences aside, get behind them, help get this country in a better place.
What about you, Yves?
Well, thanks for having me over here today. I think I am more than proud of the Central Africans. The reason being is because we went from a trial and turbulences, and then all of a sudden we stopped to hear the voice of the Central Africans speak, meaning that they have to go choose what they want to be their leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no perfect election. That's what I'll say. I don't think the election is going to solve any problems. But the core issue that we have in Central Africa is the social stability. And if we don't work on the social stability, there is never going to fix any issues. Economic efforts or humanitarian efforts is just going to be like trying to treat the symptoms rather than treating the disease itself.
What about the two armed groups? I'm talking about the Sereka and the Anti-Balaka. Mm. Are they on board? Are they supportive of the democratic process? No.
Yeah. They are on board to support the candidate. Whatever candidate that they choose and they believe that's going to win the election, that they're going to stand behind them. I'm not going to speak on behalf of either of groups. I can't say it for fact. But so far, they're showing some wisdom by staying quiet. There was no gunshot during the election, something that we need to be proud of, something that we need to encourage. I think there's a possibility that things can change, which only can hope for it. Right.
But you also, of course, have perhaps one of the largest UN peacekeeping contingents on the ground, mm-hmm. correct?
Absolutely.
And the French.
Correct. Now, in the military or any of the forces that we have on the ground, everybody has the rules of engagement. I don't know quite what the rules of engagement were for Central Africa. I'm pretty sure that if there was a severe, we could have helped cease the bloodshed that was happening in CAR. Now, let's put that back on the table. Also, I think it was the lack of knowledge from the leaders that they couldn't negotiate something better than what was actually given to us. They should have sat down around the table, partake in the meeting at the UN, knowing exactly what was on the ground, because nobody knows your country better than you. Mm-hmm. So if they have a solution for the country, they should bring it forth. But they didn't do it. They allow somebody else to make a decision for them, but yet they're still trying to complain and talking about things that are not being done.
Very interesting, Gabino, former president or deposed president, of course, Francois Bozize, was trying to make a comeback. And unfortunately, he was not able to be cleared by the Constitutional Court. What happened? They said that he was not a registered voter. This is a man who has actually been president of his own country.
Well, let's just be honest about something. I think that at some point, you have to be accountable for your action. Mm-hmm. Accountability was missing for the Central African leadership for a long period of time now. You know, when you, it's just like when you run a business, whatever is done within your business, ultimately you are responsible. Mm-hmm. You need to be accountable for your action and what was done. So for him to have, run the country and then ended in such a chaotic fashion and then not wanted to pause a little bit and at least ponder on it, but just wanted to come back, it was just kind of interesting. But thank God again that the, whether it be the judicial system or the small entity that we have in place, they stood their ground.
They eliminated him, frankly, on what you would call a very undemocratic technicality.
Indeed. but I think it was a necessary step right now to just keep all the main actors of the chaotic period out of the political scene, at least for now.
Your country, of course, like mine, Uganda, both have the distinction of having had one president overthrown by his own army two times. I'm talking about Dako in your particular case, and my particular case, Dr. Apollo Milton Obote.
Right. But again, those are the different periods in time, Shaka. You know, right now there's a change. It's a fast, rapidly happening change, both in geopolitics, but also politics in Africa. Mm-hmm. That unfortunately, there's a generation of politicians and leaders, they're not catching up to it. Which means right now, I mean, you know, Félix Houphouët-Boigny one time said that it would take time for Africa to build up on people who are capable mm-hmm. of actually come and bring about real change, you know, transformative change. Mm-hmm. Right now, this is happening almost everywhere in Africa. You see it in Nigeria. You see it in Rwanda. Look at what the job that President Kagame was able to do. Now, even from the geopolitical standpoint, they're looking for leaders that can come to the table with something more than just say, hey, give me money. We're going to rely on the international community to run our country. Instead, they're looking for people to say, hey, let's sit down around the table. Let's negotiate a public-private partnership. Here's the plan that I have for employment of youth to sustain my society. It's more of a concise, you know, demand of partnership now. And unfortunately for the Central African Republic cloud, they have not really understood until, you know, recently maybe.
I see.
Now we will pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion. With your questions and comments, don't forget to use the hashtag. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you very briefly, really, because you mentioned something about the great Ofe Bwanyi, the founding president of the Ivory Coast, or Cote d'Ivoire. But there are a lot of people who will say, look, if there are any problems that Africa, in fact, is experiencing right now, these are consequences of people like Ofe Bwanyi, a man who was in power for decades, never even chose a successor, to the extent that an Ivory Coast that at one time, frankly, was being praised to be one of the more developed countries in sub-Saharan Africa. You know the rest of the story.
Absolutely.
You even have a former president of Ivory Coast right now at The Hague.
All right. Well, Shaka, in all fairness, I think that if you put things back historically into perspective, yes, I mean, there is, myself included, I was one of the very de facto of Ofe Bwanyi, which means I think it was at the core of many instrumentalization of many things that happened in the political scene in Africa. However, I think even when you think things from a Francophone Africa perspective, yes, he failed on...
Ofe Bwanyi.
Yeah.
A huge Catholic church.
Well, those are facts, but he also built a lot of he built a lot of infrastructure.
An area that is predominantly Muslim. I mean, really?
No, but what
this is also a man, let's face it, who pretty much obviously built the economy, so to speak, and Abidjan, the commercial capital. But yet, this man was not able to choose a successor, to the extent that there are people who say, no matter how much success you have, you have had, if you cannot choose a successor, in fact, it equals to failure.
Absolutely, Shaka. But also, you know, there's a nuance, okay? Africans, we tend to want leaders that are perfect right away. No leader, as a matter of fact, no man's ever going to be perfect. What you have to do, you have to be fair and look across the board in state and age in which they have to, you know, actually led, and you make that assessment. So what I'm saying is, Ofe Bwanyi a model for me or the future of Africa? Absolutely not. But what I was trying to point out was that, and I think you can research this video, Shaka. He did this comment in the presence of Mobutu and Mitterrand. He talked in length about what his vision and of what he was going to do for Africa was. I was pretty moved by that.
Ufebwanyi?
Okay? Yes.
Or what because he was going to do for Ufebwanyi his family and his friends.
If I can jump in here, Shaka, this is one thing. I like people that think progressively. Right. You got to be progressist in any way of thinking. Right. Now, we cannot just sit here and blame everything on predecessors. We can't just sit here and say, oh, Ufebwanyi created the issues that we're living in today. Now, how many presidents has been after Ufebwanyi? What can they not fix the problem?
Right.
Right? The same people that are voting for Ufebwanyi are the same people going to vote for the next person who's coming along.
I understand what that is.
If the mindset is not changed, then it has nothing to do with the predecessor because the next person who comes along is supposed to do better. That's how I see things. And you have to encourage betterment.
So if I get you correctly, really, you think what is needed, at least among the African people, are fundamental changes both in attitudes and in mindsets.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Chaka, let me add something here. And I'm going to give it to you. It's in case of Central African Republic. There's something I talk about the all three times I was here with you. Mm. I talk about the lack of a proposed society framework, okay, which in French we call it projet de société, which is missing in all politics approach in Africa. Mm. I tell you, I guess what? And to the credit of all of our political parties in Central Africa, this time around, all of them presented a society framework.
All of them?
Yes.
Let's begin with, first of all, the two candidates are both former prime ministers.
That is correct.
One of them, in fact, used to be, he's like a manager or a banker. Mm-hmm. He used to be
a governor.
Yeah, in charge, of course. He served under President Ange Felix Patasse. That is Anicet Georges Dorogele. He comes from very strong management skills.
Right.
And the other one is a former academic and mathematician.
Right.
That one, of course, also served, I think he served under the same man, Patasse?
That is correct.
Yeah. So who do you think...
He served on the Buzizi.
Under Buzizi.
That is correct.
Who do you think probably would be the best candidate, really, to lead the Central African Republic out of its problems right now, when you look at these two guys?
Well, Shaka, I said this before. I said this when I was interviewed privately by Mariama, and I'm going to say this again. Right now, where we stand as a country, it's about the plan.
About?
The plan that they have. The society framework that they're proposing. What are they proposing? Before I came to this interview today, I read both of their society framework plan.
Right.
Both of them had some plus and minuses. And to his credit, Mr. Dolegere, every time that he came to the United States, he actually reached out to me personally.
Really?
Yeah, when I was the leader of our community. And I made suggestions to him on the angles such as youth unemployment and also creating an environment for a private sector, because you know I'm a private sector-minded person.
Right.
And to my surprise, honestly, I saw him making those edits in his plan, which just tells me what? This is someone that's listened. This is all we need. Whether it's him or Mr. Touadera that comes out of this runoff, all Central African, we need to put all of our affiliation and to the side, get on to on board, and make something happen out of this country. This is what matters at this point.
Ives Kongolo, what about you?
Well,
do you agree with your colleague?
To an extent.
About having a platform?
Absolutely.
Having a manifesto?
I do believe in that one. But
what about people who say that when politicians are running for office, they campaign in poetry, but when it comes to doing the business of governance, that one, they do it in prose?
Right. I think the stage where Central Africa is right now, I don't think it is good for the country to talk down, condescend, or discredit a candidate at this point. I don't think that's the right thing to do. Now, if I have to give advice to anybody who wants to go vote, they need to look at track records. Who has the best track records and what has it done for the country as opposed to the other one? Right now, we have Anicet Dolegere. He's experienced, well-rounded. He led different agencies and was a prime minister for a minute. Now, he's a contender. His background was just in school, teaching science and math.
Mathematics.
So mathematics.
Yeah.
So
And the vice chancellor, in fact, of the University of Bangui.
Absolutely. But what is the experience that comes behind it?
Yes.
Is he able to lead a country?
He was the prime minister briefly.
Can he even lead? Well, but he was a prime minister for how long?
About 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, about 5 years.
But was he able to lead? That's the problem. The issue is we got to put the right person at the right place.
The problem is that sometimes when you talk to some of these prime ministers in countries, frankly, where you have the presidential system, they tell you that they had no executive powers. They were serving at the discretion of the president.
Absolutely.
Who has all the powers.
But that's what I was going to mention. Huh?
That's where the issue comes. In Africa, Central Africa, let me not talk about everybody. Right. In Central Africa, if Gabino is president, then his family, cousins, people that he know of, going to come and work for him. It doesn't matter what their experience is or what the level of education is, right? So to be a minister back in the days, I remember that you have to earn it.
Right.
It's not just given.
Back in the days, which days?
Well, I'm talking about
the era we grew up in
the 80s, 90s. I remember that you have to earn it. If you don't earn the spot, you're not going to be there.
That's a Dako, isn't it?
That's Kulingba and Dako between there. Now, in that time, I'm not saying that during these days there were not any favoritism, so on and so forth. Right. That existed. Right. But the majority of the people that were put in place were competent. They were able to do the job.
Right. So what happened?
Well, Shaka, if I may just add my little two cents here to the point that Eve has a solid point, okay? But here's also what Central African Republic people now remember about Touadera. The little time that he was prime minister, the public servant always got paid, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also, like I told you, I read his society framework proposal. He's talking about ethics. What Eve talk about ethics is a big issue. Ethics, corruption,
nepotism. Ethics and character.
Yeah, ethic and character. He has made that one of his key point, which to me I think it's critical to restore that into the framework of the mindset of Central African people. I mean, the little that we know during our time growing up, is that no matter what, I mean, authorities were authorities. There was a benchmark of excellence in things that you do. There were times that we had we were the first French-speaking country to achieve autonomous alimentation, which is autosuffisance alimentaire. At that time,
what does that mean?
It means that it's a country that can self. Sustain the feeding them the people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are things that were flagship.
Your country is enormously rich.
Yeah.
You have incredible resources, both natural and human. You have very few people, really.
That's true.
But how come you are poor? Yeah. How come your people are very poor?
Well, this is what I heard before, and I'm gonna say. That people live in poor, but they die rich because they're buried on the ground and, you know, they have all the riches. Now, my thing is, there is not a human development in the country.
Plan.
Because if you develop the people, the resources that we have is just a tip of iceberg.
Right.
Right. So just take an example from the U.S. here. I guarantee, this is not a guarantee, we know for a fact that African country may have more resources than that people have here in the U.S., but they have the human capital to think.
To think. Now, what about Africa? What about the Central African Republic? And what about the changing demographics? Your generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, you have no excuse, frankly, because the intellectual balance of power has been shifting in your favor. Why can't you take advantage of that and deliver your society?
Now, when you say it balance to our favor.
The intellectual balance of power. You now have unfettered access to knowledge and information. Unlike, for example, our ancestors, you remember that when Africa was being divided among the Europeans around the 1884-85 in Berlin under Bismarck, there was not a single African representation on that huge chair.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is there's a social inequality in the country. Now, if you have a small portion of the country that are rich and can afford to send the kids overseas, then this is just what you can see.
How about the kids in the village? How about the kids in the backbone of the country? What can we do to get these people out to the city and send them overseas and pay them, give them grants for school and allow them to have same opportunity as we had?
So you come up with programs, frankly, that are very appropriate to their situation.
Yeah, Shaka.
We'll come later because time is not obvious. Okay. Ally, you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, but first here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding and fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week.
William Kokulo from Monrovia in Liberia writes, "The new president of the Central African Republic must put in place a program that will address religious problems and restore peace by bringing the opposition together to have a government of inclusion. With unity and peace, the government can then improve the economy, infrastructure, and provide basic social services."
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at voanews.com/African Beat.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, Shaka, the Central African Republic's much-anticipated presidential election is heading to a runoff round between Anicet Dologele and Faustin Touadéra, both former prime ministers. The voting was initially scheduled for January 31st, but is now expected no sooner than February 7th. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking, what will the newly elected president need to do to bring peace and to return the Central African Republic to normal? Before we begin, I would like to thank all of you for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. Another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA Central African Republic. And if you haven't yet, please do follow us at VOA Shaka. Let's go to a tweet right now from the Project CAR, who tweets that this is an excellent question. So much needs to be done, but immediate priorities include ending corruption, impunity. It also says improving national governments, local communication channels, governance capacity building, and furthering social cohesion. Let's take a look at another tweet, this time from Rutaraka, or I should say it with maybe a little French accent, Rutaraka, who writes that the African leaders must have objectives which are citizen-centered and not otherwise. It could be the convincing step. Well, let's now turn to our Facebook followers, and let's go to Kose Kaku from Juba in South Sudan, who posted this comment saying that the new president must unify all people, but not categorizing citizens based on religion. Well, quite a few interesting points. Shaka and guest, your take on these comments.
Thank you. Gabino, it's all yours.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Shaka. I think you landed on something that I kind of made it my lifeline in a fight. I think it's critical to address youth unemployment, which is at the core of all this disenfranchisement, nothing for them to do, no structural activities, no opportunities for them. This has to be at the core of anything the president's going to do, but he cannot do that alone. I think he has to all start first by having an army that is
you know, representative of the people, all the people. And I'm going to say it's not one ethnic group, one religious tendency, really representative of all the people that can really defend our territorial integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Once that is there, I mean, you will see Central African start getting going by the business. And you already know that, I mean, we're piloting something right now because, you know, when you talk about access to information or opportunities, electricity and access to broadband is those two things. And you know this is what, I mean, for all the chaos, yes, we're pioneer and our innovation brings that in an African way to the market. So I'm really looking forward to leverage our platform to try to do
Obama
something around
has,
that.
Of course, supported the initiative of Power Africa.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But when you talk about a candidate, again, identifying problems that must be done, you know, really must be solved, they mentioned like corruption, for example. You can talk about mismanagement. You can talk about a lot of things. But what happens when some of these guys who actually point out some of those problems, what happens when they get there? They get in power. For some reason, majority of them tend to do more of the same, more of what was there, as opposed to what they promised to do. If, in fact, they continue doing that, what do you think should happen on the ground, especially in countries, frankly, where civil society is so weak?
Right. Well, Shaka, I think that we discussed this angle before, but it has to start with eventually the general population coming to grip with what is good for them. And we see that in the Central African people. I'll tell you something. I'm not going to name any candidates, but as things were moving along, the way the Central African voted, they stood up against a political class that did not stand up for them when Seleka was killing them for 2 months. Mm. You saw me at some point when you interviewed me here, I was very emotional. Because, and you see Central Africa coming to grip, people say, look, if you were not for us then, and when our children were being killed and being raped, we're not going to vote for you. I think that's coming into place. You're going to see a more resilient, a more stronger nation come out of this. I've always believed that.
I don't know if you answered the question itself.
Right.
The question was regarding corruption and what the person who's going to be elected is going to do.
Right.
Now, I don't see how it relates, really, the answers that you're giving, but the problem is who can actually control the person at the head of the country and is already encouraging corruption?
Make the person accountable.
Accountable.
We'll come to that later. Yeah, let's go to my colleague. Mariama, do you have any more feedback from the audience, please?
Absolutely, Shaka. Let's go to a comment from Kukiyanga Barnaba from Kampala in Uganda, who writes, the new president ought to first deal with a fundamental problem like the economy, but he should also emphasize unity among the masses. Another Facebook comment comes from Othin Jeremiah, who writes, drafting a new constitution should be the top priority of the new president. Also, building a strong army and new laws that are respected, followed, and enforced. Religious leaders should be among the major forces used to bring about peace and unity. Shaka and guests, once again, your take, and having two guests from the Central African Republic living here, would love to hear from contributions from the diaspora. Basically, what are you doing, or what can you do also to help the country, not just Central Africa, but also other African countries?
Very interesting. Eves, I think you are onto something. You could combine it with Mariam just raised.
I think the problem has to start with ourselves.
Exactly.
Individually.
Exactly.
I'm going to give you a simple example. The first tour, the election, the first one, the recent one that we just had, apparently there was some cheating, there was some looting, there's some bribe going on. Now, the majority of Central African are just saying, let's just be blindfolded and let's move forward and say that, hey, you know what? We had enough and we got to go ahead and elect the next person no matter what happening. This is the time that we have to rebuild everything from the ground up. If there's fraud, it needs to be addressed. If somebody's being bribed, he needs to be arrested or he had to answer to the people of Central Africa.
But yet we accepting the small things, and when we see a president corrupt, looting the government funds, we want to complain about it when we actually can make a difference on the small things, like we stand for what is right.
It's very interesting that you talk about the people of Central Africa. Apart from Central Africa appearing on the map, and frankly, in theory, being there, can you convince me or the audience that there is such a country as Central Africa where people are so nationalistic, living in some of these what one would say, false borders or false...
Central Africa is the best country on Earth. That's my opinion.
Of course, of course.
Okay. So let's start it like this.
Now, regardless of what the world thinks.
I'll apologize if some of the teachers in other countries have not taught them geography about Central Africa. But when we were growing up, we knew where was Ghana, where was Nigeria, where was Congo, and all these African countries, right? One thing that we're not doing as Central African is promoting the country much.
Right. I see.
The only thing that we see is war and fights. And
we'll come to that. Okay. Well, thanks very much, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, Central African Republic being the best country, I can't say anything because my friend Gabino is here and I love him. So I won't say anything. I was expecting Shaka to like throw a punch over there to defend Uganda. But I'm certainly gonna stand by my country, Senegal. But we're not gonna start a fight here. Let's just unite. We're all Africans, and we have every country has its goods and its bads. But absolutely, wishing the Central African Republic, obviously, to go through this presidential election in peace and move on to better pastures. Well, this will do it for today's social media. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the African Union Summit Year of Human Rights with a particular focus on women's rights. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back, and today we are talking about the Central African Republic presidential runoff. Our two distinguished guests are Gabino Gerengoba, CEO of Integrated Solar Technologies and the Central African Republic Diaspora Lobe, and Yves Kongolo, President of Central African Republic Renaissance Foundation. Gentlemen, again, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Well, there are a lot of things that we obviously saw as reflected in some of the Facebook comments and tweet and what have you from our audience globally. And some of them have raised the issue of a new constitution. Mm-hmm. How many times are you going to sit down and put together this document called a constitution? Yeah. Are you going to have to invent a new wheel? Is it really a constitution that is bad? Or is it the people, in fact, that manage and implement the document? If there is an aspect that, of course, is out of date or is not probably reflective of the concerns of the people, it can already be amended. But how many times do countries have to change or sit down and write constitutions? I have known situations where somebody came and said, you know, we need to have a constitutional commission to go around the country for 5 years talking to people
collecting views. It looks good on the surface. But the guy is basically consolidating himself in power. And by the time the views come, they are disregarded. When a constitution is put together, a few years later, it doesn't have even the benefit of withstanding the test of time. Mm-hmm. Somebody changes it because he wants to be the state. Right. Let us say moi. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know a lot about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Huh?
So why don't we have leaders sincerely who must be accountable to the people that elect them into office? Mm-hmm. Why don't we have leaders, frankly, who are socially, politically, economically, culturally sensitive to their people? That is, if they are leaders. Why don't we have leaders, frankly, who are interested in social justice for everybody? Well, I gather we have to go for a break. A reminder that you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu. You what? And I gather we have to go for the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Samuel from the Republic of Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Samuel, can you hear me? I'm afraid.
How are you?
I am hugely terrific. How are you today, Sam?
I'm hugely successful. So, this question goes to Governor Ngwere Gamba.
Gabino.
Is there a proper electoral process of ensuring that the voters' register is updated? Are there equal distribution of electoral observers, both rural and international and local, in rural and urban areas, respectively, to curtail and stop ballot rigging and stuffing? Thank you, Ndugu Shaka.
You're most welcome, Ndugu Sam. What about that, Gabino?
Can you summarize a little bit?
He basically is wondering whether, for example, the political playing field is really leveled for the candidates. For example, he is asking about the viability of the Electoral Commission. He's asking about the voter register, whether it is accurate and... in fact, is something not rigged in favor of someone or that kind of stuff?
Well, in all honesty, and Chaka, you followed all my journey here, even as I was lobbying for this. None of it is. That's a reality.
But at least you have a situation where you have a huge United Nations contingent there and probably, in fact, helping the social political dynamics there.
Well, Shaka, you have to understand that the United Nations or the international community or any other countries is not going to do what's best for any specific country, unless the stakeholder of that country are involved and also have the means to do it.
But you're also lucky, for example, that the acting president, Catherine Samba, is not participating in this process. And therefore, she can, in fact, be in a position where she can assure of a result, frankly, that is a reflection of what the people want.
Those are part of what was agreed upon, Shaka. However, I think let's in all fairness, the international community has done a lot, okay, to try to help the Central African people here. Invest up to $40 million for this. So, but also you have to understand, I mean, there are a lot of things going on in the world, All the attention cannot be on your Central African Republic.
The yeah, fact but how of the matter the, is, but how was the far, or how did you find the first round, for example? Wasn't it reasonably fair?
No, it wasn't. I mean, here's the thing. We knew, Shaka, we knew going into this election that, and our community here, we have been saying this all along, that the country, in terms of territorial integrity, in terms of preparedness, in terms of all the logistic, was not ready for a fair and invalid, you know, a viable election. So, however, you know, whoever pays for your bills get to dictate the rules of the game.
Yes.
So and that's how it goes. So the international community had to have election go through at a certain, you know, time frame, and the political crowd went with it, and then we were going with it.
How do you explain, for example, the large voter turnout?
Well, before I answer that, I don't know if we should continue to encourage the mediocre mindset of thinking that, oh, because we're receiving money and we know that the situation is already a catastrophe, let's just continue with this catastrophe. Mm. Absolutely not. Mm. Okay?
That's
if
not
we
I'm
have
saying.
The opportunity to make things better or change it,
right,
let's be about the change. Let's be about the betterment for the benefit of the people. Now, if you go and vote and the voice is not being heard, this is a constitutional right that's been violated, right? So you have about 200 or something thousand votes that have not been counted. You have some officials that have been bribed. And we want to sit here and say, oh, we're already aware that the situation was already bad and we just wanted to go to for an election. If we know the situation is bad and we're aware that we cannot go for an election, how about postponing? It happened in 1993.
We'll come back to that later, and go to the lifeline of the show, if you don't mind. Let's go to Nigeria, the most populous nation, of course, on the continent, and the largest economy. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, our guest. My name is Patrick Okorafor of Anuchukwu in Nigeria. My question to our guest, Gaba. Sir, why is it that in Africa, our leaders don't keep to their campaign promises and elections turn to be travel or do or die voting? Although the international observer will tell us it is credible, but people there and there will tell us that it's not credible. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes?
Well,
the reaction?
Yes. Well, one of the key to answer this is a system of checks and balances. We talk about this on this studio, Shaka, that systems of government protect that are fair and have checks and balances protects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are, you know, subject to failure or subject to, like, you know, being greedy or whatever.
Mm.
I want to piggyback a little bit of what it's saying. Let's be realistic, okay? You have a country that went to absolutely non-existent. Meaning,
yeah, but you are not answering the question of Patrick. Patrick is asking you specifically.
Right.
Why is it that African leaders, for example,
right,
when they are running or they are seeking office,
right,
they promise heaven on earth.
Right.
But when they get there, they deliver hell. Well,
I was going to come back to that. Because, first and foremost, Shaka, they do not have the means to the politics that they're trying to implement.
What do you mean?
Meaning, okay, anybody that goes here, okay, let's take the campaign that's going on right now in the United States.
Well, it's just a marketing
exactly,
gimmick.
But you have Super PAC, you have a special interest, and you have a corporate America.
And in fairness to African leaders, it is not limited to them.
Exactly.
This is, in fact, a problem of all politicians.
Exactly. At least the politicians here, they're a little bit, they have a stronger backbone. Okay, they're a little bit more accomplished.
Because they are political pressure groups and the media.
Exactly. You have checks and balances. In Africa, we don't. Until we get to that level, until we have systems and checks and balances,
right,
and society framework that can actually guarantee liberties,
right,
and the rights of everybody, no. Right. It's everybody for themselves.
Just hold it, please, if you don't mind. Let me go to Ghana. Good evening, Tafa from Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Tafa, can you hear me?
Hello, Chaka.
Hello, Tafa.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
How are you, my brother?
Well, I'm good, Chaka. How are you, too?
I am hugely terrific and belated, of course. Happy New Year to you.
The same to you, Shaka, and my dear sister, Mariama Jallo.
Thank you. I'm sure she's listening to you.
Yes. Shaka, before I ask your guest a question, if you remember when Mr. President Obama came to Ghana, he talked about institutions, the Africa, which right. allow the institutions to right. work right. than the strong men. We right. need strong exactly. institutions than the strong men. Mm-hmm. You remember that
yes.
statement?
Right. Yes, of course.
Right.
Yes, it was very, very strong statement for Africans. What President Obama told us, I thought we focus on those things.
So what is your question? Because there is also another president, John F. Kennedy, who said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." What are you doing for Ghana to make sure that President Obama, gets it right? Tafa.
He ran out of minute.
Tafa.
No, they couldn't. I think he jumped
I'm afraid,
up.
What about Tafa's point?
I didn't get Tafa's point. I wanted to answer Patrick's point first.
No, Tafa's point that Africa does not need strong men. Mm-hmm. It needs strong institutions.
I absolutely agree. Huh?
Well, you got to have a strong man to lead the institutions.
Oh, I don't know about strong men.
Absolutely. You can have the institutions.
You have to have the people. It is the people.
But the people are the men that we're talking about. You got to have the strong people.
Strong men
in place.
Are rulers. They are not leaders. The leader should be not very far from
Let's be very careful. How are we defining strong men? Are we talking about people that are dictators?
We are talking about dictators, autocrats. The Bokassas of the world.
This is not what we can aspire to.
Do you have a problem with somebody saying that Emperor Jean Badel Bokassa was a dictator?
No, I don't have any problem with
is
that.
It? Wasn't he a strong man?
He was a strong man. I got that. I don't disagree with it. Now,
Mobutu Sese Seko was a banger.
Was he a strong man? Absolutely. I don't think that the strong man, I misunderstood the context of the strong man.
Adema of Togo.
Dictators. I don't disagree with that.
Theodore Obiang Nguema Basango of Equatorial Guinea, the longest serving African ruler since 1979.
In certain part of the world, we need to have some self-dictatorship for people to understand that things that are done is for the betterment of the country. If you don't do it, there's a bunch of sellout, and we don't want that. I'm not encouraging dictatorship. Dictatorship today is violence, is bloodshed. I'm not for that.
How do you make these people accountable?
Impunity.
Because they don't need you. It's because they didn't come through you.
Well, these countries have weak parliament.
The parliament, like the
assembly in Central Africa, for example, Assemblée Nationale, or the parliament. If you have laws that is put in place to control the executive power, that's what the parliament is supposed to do. You have to have put laws in place to control the executive power.
My friend, but if you don't have all that, dictators have constitutions. Party. All dictators have national assemblies. They have even the judiciary systems with chief justices and all that kind of stuff.
It goes back to the nepotism that I was talking about.
Well,
they bring it people through the family and put it in place. And that's how they can control everything.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. Mm-hmm. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Gabino Gerengoba, CEO of Integrated Solar Technologies and the Central African Republic Diaspora Lobby, and Yves Kongolo, President of Central African Republic Renaissance Foundation. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, Central African Republic. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.